Brothers and sisters, let's prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship together. And we thank you for being here. For where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are with them. We ask that you soften our hearts and till the soil so that your word that we receive today will bear fruit and bring honor and glory to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, we're familiar with the Great Commission. At the end of Matthew, Jesus tells us to go to all nations, making disciples. Well, chapter 10 of Matthew, it's one of those just pregnant chapters. Every time you read something, it gives birth to something else that you never saw before. In this chapter, Jesus is giving the apostles their marching orders. He says not to go to the Gentiles, not to go to the Samaritans, but go to the lost sheep of Israel. And they're to proclaim that the kingdom is at hand. They're to go and they're to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Imagine if the body of Christ did that today, right? Suppose we went out and we healed the sick, cured cancer, rose the dead, maybe cast out politicians. I don't know. You would think people would rejoice, right? Jesus warned them. He says, there will be people who hate you. You will be persecuted. You'll be jailed. You'll be beaten. But in the process, you'll have the opportunity to go witness in front of rulers and judges and kings. And speak boldly because the Holy Spirit himself will tell you what to say. And as the apostles went about their work of ministering, they in turn would be welcomed into people's houses and ministered to. In fact, Jesus told his disciples, he told the apostles if they entered a place that would not receive them or listen to their message, that they were to leave that house or city shaking the very dirt off of their feet. Don't even take the dust with you. And then Jesus said something we need to pay attention to. He said, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. Understand what that means. It says a city that did not welcome the apostles or their message would be judged more harshly than Sodom or Gomorrah. May God have mercy on our nation if we continue down the road we're on. Dear Father, bring revival. So that is their marching orders. And our passage for today is the end of this sermon of Jesus to the apostles. He tells us that the hospitality of those receiving the apostles, the prophets, his righteous witnesses, and his disciples will be rewarded. In other words, reject the message and you will be judged. Welcome the message and you will be rewarded. President Lincoln has always been admired. He's a terrific orator, fantastic statesman. But supposedly, President Lincoln had a little quirk. He did not like to meet with delegations from the various states, especially if he couldn't grant their request. So one day there was a delegation from Kentucky, and they had been put off day after day after day. They had finally given up in despair and were about to leave, and they were talking rather angrily about old Abe, using some not very complimentary terms. And Lincoln's youngest son, Tad, happened to be walking by. He heard them. So he walked up and laughed a little bit. He said, hey, you want to go see old Abe? And they said, yeah, we do. He says, well, just wait a minute. And he rushed down the hall. And he goes in to his father and he says, Papa, may I introduce some friends to you? Well, Lincoln always liked to please his son, so he said, sure, son, I'll be glad to see your friends. So Tad went back out in the lobby, and he saw the men from Kentucky, and he looked them up and down, and he found the most distinguished-looking gentleman there, went up and asked his name, and then said, well, follow me. It was the strangest thing, okay? They start walking down the halls, and no one stopped them. Soldiers snapped to attention when they passed by. They walk into the Oval Office, and Tad says, with extreme dignity, he says, Papa, let me introduce to you Judge Stewart of Kentucky. And then he told the judge to introduce his other gentleman. Wow, old Abe must have been beside himself. But you see, in spite of their powerful positions, in spite of their dogged persistence, in spite of what they thought was something they deserved, an audience with the president, they were only able to see President Lincoln because of the access provided by Tad, Lincoln's youngest son. And so it is for us. In Matthew 10:40, and from our reading today, Jesus tells the apostles, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Now this is important because the fact that receiving Jesus is receiving the Father is mentioned in every one of the Gospels, as well as Paul's letter to the Galatians. In the upper room, Jesus tells Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus tells his disciples, I am the vine and you are the branches. The Father is the vine dresser who prunes the branches. Revelation describes Jesus as the Alpha and the Omega, the very beginning and the very end. John begins his gospel saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, all creation was made through Jesus and by nothing else. And in verse 14, John says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is only the Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, Jesus is both the Lion of Judah and the perfect Lamb of God, sacrificed for our sins. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is both the Lamb and the Good Shepherd. He loves us perfectly. He cares for us. He sustains us. He heals us. And yet, the whole earth and all of his enemies will become his footstool. When he first came, he came as a sacrifice. When he comes again, he will come with an army of angels, and at that judgment will judge both the living and the dead. In that day of the Lord, every knee will bow and proclaim Jesus as Lord, and by then you will have chosen either to bow in reverence to your Lord and Savior, or to bow in fear to your ruler and judge. In Daniel 12:2 we read, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Based on this verse in Daniel, we can see that some will be resurrected to everlasting life, while those who did not have a relationship with God will find themselves still covered in their sin. God loves you immensely, unconditionally, perfectly, no strings attached, and with no limits. And God wants to have a relationship with you. And that relationship is made possible only by you being washed by all of your sins, by the accepting the forgiveness of his Son, Jesus, who by his stripes and through his blood paid the price that we could never pay. Like those commissioners from Kentucky, in our dirty, sinful state, we have no hope of appearing before a perfect God in a perfect heaven. But with the Son, we can now have the relationship with God that man was created to have from the beginning of time. Through the blood of Christ and Him alone, we can be washed clean and be called children of God. With all the saints and with all the angels of heaven, we should praise God for His boundless love, patience, and mercy. Again, He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. So what exactly does it mean to receive an apostle? Well, if we go back to the verses mentioned earlier, we see that for one thing, receiving the apostles meant to show them hospitality. Jesus says, a laborer is worthy of his food. When they entered the village, they were to find someone worthy to stay with, giving them peace as they entered the house. So then we have to ask, well, who is worthy? And we go back and we find the answer in chapter 10, verse 14. It says, if no one receives you or listens to your words, shake the dust off your feet as you leave that house or town. So receiving then means not only being hospitable, but also receiving the apostles' message. So to be worthy, you need to be willing to hear the words. Receiving then includes hospitality, to be sure. But it's also receiving the message, the gospel message that they bring. Receive the apostle and his message. Receive the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. Well, we don't see the apostles walking down the road anymore, so we can't really accept an apostle into our house. But there will always be prophets, disciples, righteous persons. Some luxury hotels have added kind of an unusual amenity to their vacation plans. Their guests stay in plush surroundings, they wine and dine at luxury restaurants, and they lounge around the pool, and they get their massage, manicure, pedicure. But then they have an opportunity to spend one day, or just part of a day, volunteering. Some of them may serve at a soup kitchen. Others may improve a hiking trail or work in a food bank. Time magazine article called this Silver Spoon Volunteerism. And there's always critics, and there's some critics around that say that these people just want to soothe their guilty conscience by doing something described as giving back, volunteering, but just not too much. We still want to be able to enjoy our vacation. Yes, volunteering and service are important, but just as important is motive. As Paul explains from the book of Galatians, good works, on the other hand, can be the same acts as those of good deeds, but they are done at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. They're done as disciples of Christ. And most importantly, they're done to the glory of God. Motive is important. And that is also true when you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet. A prophet is a messenger, a spokesperson of God. In verse 41, we see, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. A person's name would correspond to his job or occupation. Like a smith would be a blacksmith, right? A shoemaker makes shoes. A parker is a forest ranger taking care of the park. So what this verse is saying is that we receive a prophet and receive his message, not because you like him, not because you like the message, but you receive the prophet because he is a messenger of God. And likewise with the righteous person. Although they may not be called to preach the good news at that moment, they witnessed for a risen Christ through their actions, their behaviors, and their attitude. With a righteous person, it's the gospel message on display for all to see and experience. But when you receive a prophet or a righteous person and his message, what is this reward that Jesus is talking about? What is a prophet's reward? What is a righteous person's reward? Well, some think that there will be different degrees of reward for what we did in this life. In 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us that there will be rewards given in heaven based on works. He says, each one's work will become manifest, for the day, and day is capitalized. This is the day, the Lord's day, the day of judgment, will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. You know, it's sort of like the story of two men who died and went to heaven. The first man approached St. Peter and said, I'm Sid Silverman, taxi driver in New York City. St. Peter looked through his book and he smiled. He said, well, here's your silken robe and your golden staff, you may enter. The next person was a minister. He approached and he boomed out. He says, I'm Pastor Robbins and I've served my congregation for 50 years. St. Peter looked through his book and he nodded. He said, well, here's your cotton robe and your wooden staff. You may enter. Well, the minister was speechless. He looked at St. Peter and said, but the fellow before me was a cab driver, and his robe was silk, and his staff was gold. And St. Peter looked at him and said, well, what can I say? We look at results here. While you preached, people slept. While he drove, people prayed. So actually, there is quite a bit of discussion on rewards among scholars. But in our passage for today, I believe there's only one reward meant here. You see, the prophet became a prophet when he received the messenger and the message, the gospel message. And then he put his faith in Jesus Christ. The righteous person, he became righteous by putting on the righteousness of Christ when he received Christ. And your reward, when you receive a prophet and his message, because he is a messenger of God, you receive a prophet's reward. You receive Jesus Christ. What greater reward could there possibly be? And we also see that in our last verse. It says, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Some commentators have tried to say that there were children around at the time. You know, Jesus welcomed the children, and they were often raised up as an example of childlike faith. But you have to remember that little ones is also a code word used by Matthew to mean the disciples, the women, men, and children who followed Christ. So this verse refers to receiving a disciple because he is a disciple of Christ, and includes the hospitality and the receiving of a message. Giving a cup of cold water is used to signify just a small token of service or hospitality. So this last verse has two very special meanings. First, it's not required for you to track down a prophet and welcome the prophet, give him the master suite, give him filet mignon. It's not required for a reward. But most importantly, for Christians, for the body of Christ, this verse says, you don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be a righteous person or a missionary or a pastor or sing in the choir or sit on a committee. You don't have to have been a Christian for 100 years. All that is required is that you be a disciple of Christ. Yield yourself up. Let the Holy Spirit work through you. And you have the awesome, awesome reward of sharing with someone the most fabulous gift that anyone could share. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. And in it he writes, the bearers of Jesus' word receive a final word of promise for their work. They are now Christ's fellow followers and will be like him in all things. Thus they are to meet those to whom they are sent, as if they were Christ himself. When they are welcomed into a house, Christ enters with them. They are bearers of his presence. They bring with them the most precious gift, the most precious gift in the world, the gift of Jesus Christ. And that is our reward. That is our reward. Accept one of these little ones in the message, and you will receive Christ. Receive Christ, and you will receive the Father. All I know for me is that is all that I desire. To see Jesus, to fall down at his feet, and to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. 1,000 times thank you. A gatekeeper in the house of God is perfectly fine with me, because after all the crowns belong to him. It's only through him, only through Jesus, that we can do the good works that we're called to do. Receive a disciple with a cup of water, receive his message, and receive Jesus. Receive Jesus and receive the Father. You could not imagine a greater reward. As Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But for someone to hear, there has to be a messenger. Let each one of us be the messenger that Jesus called us to be. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we cannot express our gratitude. We cannot thank you enough in that while we were sinners, rejecting you, turning our back on you, you still loved us so much that you made a way for us to be whole. You sacrificed your only Son who paid the price that we could never pay. We ask that you give us the strength and the courage to proclaim this good news to all people, so that all people can have the same opportunity to choose life over death, love over hate, righteousness over sinfulness. To be in your presence is the most precious gift of all. Help us to listen to the Holy Spirit and go where you would have us to go and be the messengers you would have us to be. In the name of your precious Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.